I invite you this morning to turn with me to 1 John chapter 1. My subject, as I said earlier, is fellowship, the fellowship of God's saints. I hear people talk about fellowship. From time to time, somebody says to me, "We need more fellowship." You have a strong church, but it needs more fellowship. We need to invite people over for fellowship. I hear people talk about fellowship. I see this word incorporated in the names of churches. I have a good friend who pastors a church, and I've been out there to preach a couple of times in California, called San Diego Grace Fellowship. I did a computer search just for a minute or two on the name, and the list was endless. Fellowship Baptist, Life Fellowship, Christian Fellowship, Bible Fellowship, and just plain old fellowship. All incorporated in the names of churches. I hear people talk about fellowship. I see the term used in the names of churches, and I often see announcements on the bulletin board down at the post office where I go to get my mail. And it'll say, on such and such a day, the Methodist Church is having a fellowship dinner. Such and such a day. Or I read it in newspapers. A few years back, I got called to preach at a conference, and the title of the conference, the subject of it, was fellowship. Fellowship. What is fellowship in the biblical sense? Is there such a thing in the lives of Christians? Is fellowship a Bible term, a Bible doctrine? Are we as disciples of Christ encouraged to have fellowship? And if we are, who are we encouraged to have it with? I believe this is one of the most misunderstood terms in the New Testament. Fellowship. I selected my text here in 1 John because I believe it goes right to the heart of what true fellowship is. Now let's begin reading here in 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we've seen and heard declare we unto you." Now listen. "That ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we've heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all." Now the light He's talking about is the light of this fellowship, the light of this redemption that was manifested in Jesus Christ. And this is what He's telling them. In Him is no darkness. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him, with God, I know God. The Jews told Christ, "God is our Father." He said, "If God were your Father, you'd love me. Because you've got no other way of knowing who God is. I came forth from the Father. I manifested the Father." If we say we have fellowship with Him, that is with God, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But If we walk in the light, as He is the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word's not in us. Now what I propose to do this morning is to give you three things concerning the fellowship of God's saints, and I hope you'll listen to it. Here's the first thing. What is the fellowship of the saints? What in the world is this Bible talking about when it's talking about the fellowship of the saints? Well, John says very clearly here in the text, which I read to you, that it's with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Whatever this fellowship is based on God Himself, on God's will, on God's power, on God's character, on God's intention. It's based on that. It's not based on something in us or something in this world. It's our fellowship. Christian fellowship is with the Father and with His Son. Now the word fellowship carries in it a sense of partnership. And we're partners in that we share an interest in His blessings. John said, I'm writing these things to you that you might have fellowship with me. My fellowship's with the Father and with the Son. And I'm preaching these things to you, and maybe, God will allow you to have fellowship with us. Maybe He will. Who can tell? Who can tell? We're partners in that we share an interest in His blessings. We're said to be, in Romans 8:17, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. We've been predestinated, the Bible said, unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. He goes on to tell us in Ephesians 1:11 that in Christ we have obtained an inheritance, this partnership, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. Whatever this fellowship with is, it has to do with a partnership which we have through the person of Jesus Christ, whom God the Father sent. The fellowship of the saints is a true and saving knowledge of God through the person and work of His dear Son and made known by the effectual working of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. That's the fellowship. That's the fellowship. If you don't have that, you don't have fellowship. You might have friendship, but you don't have fellowship. Our fellowship is that which we have by union with the Lord Jesus Christ, who is not only our representative on earth, but is God's representative to men. Salvation comes from the triune God. That's what I'm attempting to tell you this morning. This fellowship comes with an understanding of the mystery. We have a fellowship in the mysteries of God. We understand that salvation comes through the triune God. There was a Pentecostal church up in Ashland where I was raised, and this church was called, it was nicknamed by all the people around, Jesus Only. Jesus Only. Believers understand who Christ is, and that Christ not only represents us on this earth before God, but He represents God on this earth to us. Huh? Salvation comes from the triune God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But it's revealed in the Son. That makes sense? It's revealed. You're not going to find it studying God the Father. You'll find it in Christ. But in Christ, you're going to find God the Father. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 27, our Lord said, all things are delivered unto me of my Father. What things? What things? All things. What all things is he talking about? That's a pretty big scope, isn't it? All things. He uses that term a lot concerning his Son. All things. Everything God has purposed to do, everything that the triune God is, it's all been purposed in him. It's delivered unto me of my Father. And no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son. Now listen to this. And he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. In the faith of God's elect, there is a fellowship of the mystery of the Godhead in the salvation of sinners. Paul opened his letter to the Ephesians, praising the God and Father of Jesus Christ. I'll tell you, that's a mouthful if you try to study it. He is the God of Christ. Well, I thought Christ was God. He is. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God. Listen, the Everlasting Father. But he talks about his Father. I tell you, it's a big subject if you get into it. He opens this book praising the God and Father of Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Jesus tells us the same thing, or James does, that every good gift, every perfect gift is from above, cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. It was the immutable will of our Heavenly Father, which is the source of our hearing and believing. And therefore, we're encouraged to be swift to hear and slow to speak and slow to rebel. Paul tells the Galatians, because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. I'm told by those who studied the language that the word Abba comes from the Syriac language or the Syriac customs. And it's used only in the closest relationship of family. It means father, but it goes past that. It means head. It means Lord. And so, if you interpret it exactly as the word is, it means Head Father or Father Lord. And though servants under that economy were considered as members of a house, they were never permitted to use this word Abba. They couldn't use it. Forbidden. Only for children and the wife, even as Sarah called Abraham Lord. Believers understand that God is their God as he is the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. Believers understand that God is their Father as he is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And believers understand that they are heirs of God only as they are joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the brightness, it says in the Scriptures in Hebrews 1. He is the brightness of the Father's glory and the express image of His person. He is the manifestation of God the Father. Philip said, show us the Father and it will satisfy us. It'll suffice. Jesus said to him, have you been so long time with me and yet hast thou not known me? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And believers understand and have fellowship in the saving knowledge of the Trinity. They rejoice in it. Paul said he preached the wisdom of God in a mystery. And believers have the fellowship of faith. They not only have this fellowship of understanding this mystery, this great mystery of the Godhead, the saving knowledge that God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit are all engaged in your salvation. They share that. And believers have the fellowship of faith. What's that mean? That means they believe the same thing. I get so tired of hearing people talk about we're all just spokes in a wheel. Every spoke all going to the same place. Believers share a fellowship of faith. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 4 tells us there's one body, one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord. Now listen, one faith. How many? One. One baptism. One God and Father of all who is above all and through all and in you all. This is what Paul refers to in that same chapter. That he strived to keep the unity of the Spirit. That's what he's talking about. This one faith, this one Lord, this one God, this one Savior. He strove, these churches were to strive to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Listen to these epistles, how they begin. Paul called Titus, he said, my own son, after the common faith. Peter addressed a general letter to all God's children, calling them men and women of like precious faith. And we cannot have fellowship with those who cannot and will not bow to the testimony of God concerning His Son. I can tolerate them, I can be around them, I can be kind to them. I can love them, I can pray for them, but I can't have fellowship with them. Because my fellowship is with God the Father and with His Son. I can fellowship with those of like precious faith. We have everything in common. Listen to this scripture in 2 John chapter 9. 2 John verse 9. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ, now watch this, hath not God. He don't have a right understanding of God. He don't know God. He's not a recipient of His benefits. He knows not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. He hath knowledge of them both. He's a recipient of their benefits. He savingly knows the Father and the Son. This is what eternal life is. Now, verse 10, if there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is what? Partaker of his evil deed. You can't have fellowship with a man who hates God. You can't do it. We have a fellowship of understanding concerning the Godhead and the salvation of sinners. And we have a fellowship of faith. We believe the same thing. We believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as He set forth in the Word of God. And then thirdly, we have a fellowship of experience. I don't have to talk to a man very long before he'll tell me how God revealed to him what he was. He's a sinner. He's a sinner. Hopeless, helpless. Thought he was somebody. God brought him to see that he was nobody. Thought that God was on a shelf somewhere and he could just go take him off the shelf anytime he needed him. Thought that salvation was an insurance policy. All he had to do is cash it in. Just keep in mind where it is so I can go grab it and cash it in. And one day God let him know who he was. And let him know it's not so much. He's Lord. And it's not a question of what you're going to do with your Lord. It's a question of what your Lord's going to do with you. We have a fellowship of experience. All God's children are called in one hope of their calling. And the one hope to which all believers are called is that which is laid up for us in heaven in the person of God's Son. Our life is hid with God in Christ. That's why he said, set your affections on things above, not on things of this world. For we're dead, and our life is hid with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with him. Here on earth, it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Our hope is to be with him, to be like him, and to know him in the fullest sense of the word. The saving glory of God can only be seen in his face. And we're all sinners, vile, hateful, enemies of God, condemned sinners, practicing sinners, unclean, ungodly, unrighteous. And so we would be yet. So we would be yet if he had not called us out of darkness. Called us according to his own purpose and grace, and called us to glory and virtue, called us to be heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. We are all, Paul said to the Hebrews, partakers of the heavenly calling. He convinces us of sin, and being convinced of sin, we lose all hope in ourselves and in this world. That's why John said those two things back in the chapter that I read to you. You can't deny your sinnerhood. You make God out to be a liar when you do that. And you can't say after conversion, I don't sin anymore. That's what the Nazarenes believe. That's what a lot of religions believe. I'm saved now. I don't sin anymore. He said, God's word not in you. Not in you. He convinces us of sin, and being convinced of sin, we lose all hope in ourselves and in this world. Then he sets before us the all-sufficient Savior. Christ, our propitiation. Christ, our righteousness. Christ, our atonement. Christ, our sanctification. Christ, our wisdom. Christ, our Lord. Christ, our intercessor. Perfect man, perfect God, perfect Savior. And then he tells us down here in verse 7 of 1 John, if we walk in the light as he is the light of what? The light of the true character of God, the light of God's saving benefits, the light of God's grace. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. If we walk in that light, that common light, that precious light, if we walk in the light as he is the light, we have fellowship one with another. Huh? Well, what about my sins? The blood of Christ cleanseth us from all sin. We have communion with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit as we have a common union with the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what the fellowship of the saints is. And without this fellowship, we cannot expect to have fellowship in our marriages. That's why Paul forbids believers to marry unbelievers. We cannot have fellowship in our gatherings. I go to every now and then to our family reunion and I'm miserable. Miserable. The only thing we share in common is we had the same parents. That's it. That's it. Maybe if I can keep them talking about fishing or something, we can get along. But that's it. We don't have this fellowship. It's why we don't have fellowship in our marriages and fellowship in our family gatherings and in our suppers and sometimes even in our worship. All right. This is what fellowship is. Learn it. Get it in your head. Look at it. Think about it. Here's the second thing I want you to see, what fellowship is not. It's not a bunch of folks getting together with common interest, except that common interest be Christ. Fellowship, Brother Henry used to tell us, is fellers in the same ship. Fellers with the same hope. Do you know that the Bible says these six things? It says we are fellow citizens. It says we're fellow helpers, fellow laborers, fellow servants, and fellow workers. We're fellers in the same ship. John said, truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son. And he said, I'm telling you this, that you might have fellowship with us and that your joy might be full. Brethren, if this fellowship is not the focal point of all we gather to do, it's not true fellowship. Occasionally I go and visit with my family. As I said to you before, we just don't have this fellowship. We don't agree. We say, well, we disagree on some things. I can't find a single point of doctrine that we can agree on. Maybe you can, but in my family, we can't. We don't have the same hope. We don't have the same faith. We don't have the same anything. Just share our common bond in our parents. We can talk about childhood memories, and we can talk about what a rounder this one was or that one and so on. We can laugh and tell jokes and do all those things. But we don't have this fellowship, period. It's not there. I look around, churches go to extreme ends to build recreational facilities, to earmark certain days for this and that, and on it goes, and all in the name of fellowship. Fellowship's not just getting together to eat, it's getting together. Somebody said, when we're together, we ain't together. Are we on the same foundation? Are we serving the same Lord? Are we hoping in the same Christ, resting in His sufficiency, looking for His return? Is Christ being formed in me? Is He all my salvation and all my desire? What forms the bond of fellowship is our common interest in Christ. Our common hope in Christ, our common goal in Christ, our common worship of Christ. And I tell you, there's no one subject that every Christian loves to talk about more than Christ. He lights up all over. All you have to do is start talking to Him about His Savior, and He'll light up all over. He'll tell you. It's a joy to Him. It's not work. He's not too fussy about where you go with it either. Want to talk about His eternal appointments? That's fine with me. You want to talk about His incarnation, His types and figures, His creation, His prophecies, His parables, His redemptive work, His resurrection, His ascension, His priestly intercession, His present rule, His return. We fellowship around the gospel. Go where you will. Go where you will. Now listen to this. 1 John 1, verse 6. If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Now it's not just talking about your doctrine. It is talking about your doctrine, but it's talking about more than just your doctrine. He's talking about your life, talking about the tenor of your life. He's talking about your mindset, your priorities, your goals, your affections. Christ said this, He that's not with me is against me. Now there's just two kingdoms in this world. You either serve one or you serve the other. I'm not for either one. Oh yes, you are. If you're not for him, you're against him. That's what he said. He said, he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Are you gathering with him? How does he gather? He gathers through what I'm doing here this morning, through the preaching of the gospel. He gathers through evangelistic outreaches, through the radio, TV, whatever means we choose to use, whatever means he leads us to use, through the internet. It's an evangelistic outreach when I'm called to go to another church and preach for them. He that gathereth not with me, if a man's not involved in these things, if he's not actively participating in these things, if he doesn't see that his time on this earth is for this, this is the only reason God's left us here. We're not getting any better. He's not waiting on us to ripen. We're salvation's in Christ. We're already ripe. Isn't that what he said? My crop's ripe, ready for the harvest. Well, why did he leave us here? To be fellow laborers in the gospel of Christ. That's why we're here. And if we're not gathering with him, what are we doing? They're scattering abroad. You help another side. Well, Christ said. He didn't say they're lost. He just said, if you're not with me, you're scattering abroad. You're helping them. He that gathereth not with me. All right, thirdly. How is this gospel fellowship practiced? It begins with an acknowledgement of the truth. Listen to this in Acts chapter 2, verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, now watch this, and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. Doctrine comes first, and then fellowship. Then fellowship. And then the ordinances. And then our service. The fellowship of the saints begins with doctrine. And then secondly, the fellowship of the saints is practiced through submission to the will of God. It's God's ordained will that believers be baptized. You're going to walk in the light as he is the light, and you're a believer, but you refuse to be baptized. You're still walking in darkness. Don't do it. Don't do it. If you're going to have fellowship with him, you're going to have to walk in the light. Whatever light God's given you, I don't say you have to be a theologian to be a believer. I'm just simply saying what light God's given you, and he gives you first the light of doctrine. The fellowship of the saints is practiced through submission to the will of God. In Galatians 2, Paul's recounting his experience at the church in Jerusalem. And there he tells them of his calling to the Gentiles and God's confirmation of his calling. And in Galatians 2:9, it says, when James and Cephas and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, received that will of God in him, perceived his calling, perceived all these things. When they perceived these things, they gave unto me the right hand of fellowship. Shook his hand and said, you go. You go and you go with our blessing. And I'm telling you, we live in the gospel age. The will of God for his church in our age is that the gospel be preached to everyone who'll hear it. We see this in the Word of God, and we recognize His preachers by their message, and we fellowship in our submission to the will of God. And we practice our fellowship in the preaching of the gospel and in the revelation of these mysteries by the Holy Spirit. And then fourthly, true fellowship is practiced both in our sufferings and in the benefits of His sufferings. Paul said, that I might know Him. That I might know Him and the power of His resurrection. Now listen. And the fellowship of His sufferings. Paul didn't delight in suffering, but he delighted in suffering for the namesake of Christ. He could rejoice in that. Oh, he found something in common. Something in common. Paul wanted to be like Christ even in his sufferings. To suffer for a righteous cause, to suffer for the same that others might live, and to suffer for the glory of God. Peter said in 1 Peter 4:14, if we be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you. Happy are you. For the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part He's evil spoken of. On your part He's glorified. And he also tells us not to be shocked by those sufferings as though some strange thing happened to us. We're going to suffer separation from our blood kin over the gospel. We're going to see separations from mothers and fathers and sisters and brothers over the gospel. We're going to find separation from old friends, old churches, and old neighbors. They're going to separate with us over the gospel. And this is a type of suffering that we experience in which we fellowship with His. And the other part of that fellowship is we fellowship over the benefits derived from His sufferings. And maybe that's the biggest part of what this verse is talking about. We have fellowship in His sufferings. Oh, I'm glad I do. He suffered the just for the unjust. Huh? I have fellowship in that, Russell. He was made a curse for me. Cursed is everyone who continueth not in all things written in the book of the law to do them. He suffered for me. And I count it an honor if He will allow me to suffer for Him. Don't you? Fellowship. You see what I'm talking about, this fellowship? Today that word's used to describe playtime. It's not playtime. We have fellowship. And truly our fellowship was with the Father and with His Son. Now, if I have this fellowship, I can fellowship when we eat. I can fellowship in my marriage. I can fellowship anywhere. Huh? Knowing what this fellowship is. And that's why he said, he that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that begotten of him. Why? Because we have fellowship. Fellers in the same ship. Thank you.